Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Herod was the one who had had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much troubled, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day, when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officials, and the leading citizens of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you wish and I will grant it to you." He swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to have my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "For what shall I ask?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made a request. "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Sisters, it's good to be back. It's great to see the new sisters here. I already thank God in advance for the ways that you will help me grow in faith, just like those who sat in those pews ahead of you over the last 2.5 years have. Today we have an extraordinary feast. To earthly eyes it seems just such a terrible thing to mark. But for those who look with the eyes of faith, we see something far greater. We see something about the faith of St. John the Baptist that we're supposed to imitate. We see something about the terrible lack of faith and the evil in Herod and Herodias and his courtiers and his military officials and the leading men and women of Galilee and Salome. And then we see ourselves implicated and the people of our own time implicated. So let's go all heads in for this feast. St. John the Baptist was the precursor of the Lord in everything. Sometimes we can look at his work as we do in Advent, just announcing as he did at the Jordan and carrying through that symbolic act of what Jesus would make sacramental. But St. John was the precursor in birth. He was the precursor in his preaching. Jesus would echo his first words. He was the precursor in baptizing, and the church would learn from his non-sacramental form the essential conversion at the heart of the sacramental form Jesus himself would institute. He was the precursor in his imprisonment, in his suffering, in his death, and even in a sense in his resurrection. because much later, when Herod would hear what Jesus himself was doing, he himself would say about Jesus, what the angel at the tomb would say about Jesus, that he has been raised. This must be John. No, it was the one to whom John as the new Elijah pointed. And as Jesus himself would say after the transfiguration, they did to John the Baptist whatever they pleased, and that would be a sign of what they would do to the Son of Man. So John the Baptist's entire life points to Jesus. Today, because of the first reading, we can focus in a particular way about his preaching. Today's first reading, St. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, but his words are very apt to describe what St. John the Baptist himself did. He said, after we had suffered and been insolently treated in Philippi, we know what had happened there. He was basically beaten with a rod despite the fact that he was a Roman citizen in prison. But God permitted all of that to happen to bring the jailer and his family and many others there in Philippi to salvation. After all of this, we drew courage through God, not discouragement, courage to speak to you the gospel of God with much struggle. Having experienced what the Lord did, drawing good out of his lacerations, he was emboldened to preach all the more to those in Thessalonica, to speak the gospel of God to you with much struggle, much effort, with much agonizing, given it 100%, we could say. Our exhortation was not from delusion, impure motives, deception. He would go on to say it wasn't done with flattering speech or with a pretext for greed. It wasn't being done to seek praise from men, from you, or for others. No, it was rather to please God who judges hearts. And in sharing the gospel courageously with those in Thessalonica, St. Paul showed how we are all supposed to share the faith. We were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, the words of God, the good news, but our very selves as well, to preach it through our own living it, and living that most important commandment of all, to love God precisely through loving our neighbor. This is a summary of the way St. John the Baptist himself likewise preached, not just to the crowds at the Jordan, not just from the womb in Ein Kerem, but also to Herod. John was willing to give his life for Herod and Herodias and Salome and all those there. He was doing it with courage, despite much struggle. He wasn't trying to delude. There was no impure motive for gain. There was no deception. He wasn't trying to please Herod, but he was trying to bring Herod to eternal happiness that only God could give. As a result of it, he suffered just like Paul did, sharing the gospel, as we see in 2 Corinthians. He shared his very self along with his word, and gave his own head to try to convert Herod, catching him like fish are caught by the head. Herod, though, is the manifestation of that hardened soil. Herod grew up in a household in which his father sought to kill Jesus and all the holy innocents there in Bethlehem, a father who had killed several of his own wives and several of his own children. It would have been hard to grow up with a well-formed conscience. Nevertheless, God, out of love for Herod, sent him John the Baptist. First, John just forthrightly proclaimed, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." He had gone to Rome in order to meet with the emperor, but there he was staying with his brother. You can see just how corrupted Herod Antipas' heart had come. While he was enjoying his brother's hospitality, he stole his wife. He divorced his own wife, and that wife, Herodias, was likewise his niece through one of his other brothers. It was unlawful, not just because it violated Leviticus 18:15, saying that we can't expose the nakedness of someone who's married to one of our siblings, was far worse than that. Then when he came, on his birthday, he threw a party in which he pimped his great niece, who was also now, in a sense, his stepdaughter, in such a way that her lascivious dance raised the lust up of all the folks in Galilee. Rather than protecting a girl entrusted, he exposed her. And then, when his own concupiscence was at its boiling point, he swore an oath in front of all the crowds that he would give her anything she asked for, even up to half his kingdom. Let's think about what such a stupid oath meant. She could have said, "I want you to drink hemlock right now. I want your head on a platter." She went to her mother, and her mother finally got her wish. She sent Salome back in, running with the request to bring into that party not birthday cake, but a bloody severed head. His conscience was already eclipsed. Jesus had said previously that it wasn't worth it to gain the whole world and lose your soul in the process. And he was too caught up in his pleasures to grasp that what Salome was asking was for his own conscience to be slain as he slay the precursor reward. But because he was trying to please men, because he was trying to ingratiate himself to the pleasures of those others, because he himself was dominated by his own pleasures, he gave in to the wish. That's what we see. We see that once he had made the decision that he was not going to live according to the law of the Lord, everything else began to flow. And it just started getting worse and worse and worse. The key, what we can learn, if he didn't convert at the message of John the Baptist, was almost sent as a spiritual director there in Machaerus prison. Herod could call him at any time he wanted. He could come on up, and he was perplexed and he was troubled, it says, when he listened to John. He liked to listen to him, but he didn't want to put any of his words into practice. He didn't want to keep the law of the Lord that John was announcing to him in person. What an extraordinary, particular love God had shown for Herod. But Herod refused it all. But his refusal is an opportunity for us to open up and to say, do we listen to the word of the Lord in such a way that we want to live the Lord's law with love down to its smallest dots? And do we likewise recognize that so many of the people that we're sent out to serve are very much enslaved by darkness and lies, just like Herod? And if we can start to advance them to just open themselves up beyond a little fascination at the way we're dressed or the way we live chaste celibacy in the midst of a world that's on a broad road to perdition with regard to concupiscence, beyond just the fact that they enjoy our oddity in the midst of everything else, if we can get them to open themselves up little by little to keeping the Lord's law, that's the secret to bring them back. It's really the secret of holiness. Because to refuse to obey the law is to seek to execute the legislator within. Today, as we come forward on this feast of St. John the Baptist's martyrdom, his supreme witness, his supreme testimony of the Lord, we remember how we began this Mass. For the sisters who had just arrived, there was one sister who was always remembering the opening prayer. She said exactly what we were saying. But we prayed that God would grant us that just as John the Baptist died as a martyr for true and justice, we too might fight hard, fight the good fight of faith for the confession of what we teach the Lord. That the Lord wants to make us heroic in our own struggle. just like he made St. John point to the Lamb of God who comes in the world to take away our sins to the very end of his life. Today, through St. John the Baptist's intercession, let us pray for that grace. Let us go out with courage, despite whatever we might suffer, in order to proclaim this word in season or without season, and allow the Lord, even should we die for this proclamation, to draw good out of it that will echo until that Lamb comes anew. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.